The Week's Geek, hosted by Ralph Tromsey.
All right, welcome back to The Week's Peak, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully y'all caught our last episode over with Gonzalo, where we talked about relationships and all of that during quarantine. But today we have a very special episode that I am very excited to film. We have the one and only Matthew Santoro. How's it going, Matt?
Good, man. It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much.
For sure, for sure. So for those of you, for those in the audience who might not know who Matthew Santoro is, feel free to just introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, my name is Matthew Santoro. I'm a small town Canadian boy that ended up, you know, following his dreams and making it. And I'm a mindfulness advocate, social media personality, digital creator, all the above.
Great, great. So I just want to say, you know, I started watching you years ago, right? But I fell off a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I fell off of your videos a little bit over the past few years. But the other day I was just going through YouTube and I stumbled across your channel. And I saw that you were live on your second channel. And I got into the live when you said something about, you know, agreeing to collab with someone. You dropped your business email. And at that moment, I'm like, you know what? What if I had Matthew Santoro on my show?
Like, there you go.
You know, so like I was just in the right place at the right moment. So it's great to have you on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So let's just go ahead and get right into it here. So you're known for, you know, your list videos,
yes,
right? But it didn't always start as list videos, right? You had, you know, some skits going on. You had a show. Explain to me, you know, what was the mindset going into YouTube at first and kind of deciding what kind of content that you wanted to make?
Yeah, I mean, early on, I had discovered YouTube around like 2006, and I had been putting up videos on one of my very first channels that doesn't even exist anymore. But I was just uploading, you know, random things, like I would record a party I was at or this or that. And people thought I was really weird because, you know, that had never been seen before. Like, what? I remember one time I was recording a party and I said, oh, I'm going to put this on YouTube. And a girl said, what's YouTube? I'll never forget that. That was like 2006 or 7 when it first started. But 2009, I had discovered that a lot of people had followings. And I, after watching them and just falling in love with the concept of creating video online and the concept of sharing it and people see it, it was exciting to me. So I realized I could probably do that. And so I was inspired by a lot of these first people. And you know, I didn't really know what to do. So I, you know, kind of took the style of Philip DeFranco doing news and Ray William Johnson doing, you know, viral videos and a guy named Wheezy Waiter who had clones. And I took the best parts of all these people that inspired me and sort of did my own thing. And I did that for 4 years, making comedy sketches and some lists here and there. And then at the fourth year, I decided to take it seriously and start doing exclusively lists because I found that those did the best, and the rest is history.
Wow, yeah. And, you know, since then, right, you're over, you know, 1.4 billion views, you know, 7 mil subs combined, your channels, and close to 1,000 videos, your main channel, man. It's crazy to see, you know, how you blew up. You know, does those numbers still kind of blow your mind to this day, even though you've done it for so many years?
Yeah, it's not as much as it used to, just because, you know, human beings adapt, and it doesn't mean I'm less grateful at all. I'm very grateful for all of it. But, you know, we live in a world now where it's not uncommon to see someone get 1 million views, 500,000 views. And so, you know, seeing any amount of views that my videos get, I'm just grateful for it. And it's, it used to be really amazing because, you know, the internet was still new to YouTube and all of that. But you know, it's not uncommon, like I said, for people to upload a video now, even on things like TikTok. People upload a video, their first video, they'll get 50,000 views, like 100,000 views, or they'll go viral. It's a wild time that we live in.
Right, right. And, you know, with that, it definitely, if someone's trying to get into, you know, YouTuber or some kind of social media, it's a little tough to get out there nowadays, you know, because there's so much of people, you know, posting one thing and just blowing up on their first thing, you know. Or back then, maybe it was, you have to take a little bit of a different approach. When you first, you know, started to get more viewership, how did that feel? You know, back then, as you mentioned, when, you know, YouTube and making videos weren't really a common thing. How did that feel when you first saw, you know, your numbers increase?
It definitely felt like an affirmation that everything that I had wanted in my life and everything I'd been working towards was finally paying off. And, you know, it was an amazing, I can't even describe it to you, like to go from nothing to suddenly getting 25,000 subscribers a day just behind PewDiePie as the second biggest creator on the platform for 3 months straight was a wild feeling. It's like nothing, you know, that's even explainable. And I can really empathize with, you know, new creators nowadays that are posting a video on, you know, platform X, fill in the blank, and they go viral overnight and they're not able to handle their success. They do crazy stuff. Like they pull a Justin Bieber and pee in a bucket. You know what I mean? Like we have to have empathy for these people because, you know, until you're in that position, you don't know what it's like to have all this money and attention on you all of the sudden. And, you know, I look at someone like Charli D'Amelio, who's, everybody knows Charli from TikTok. She's got almost 50 million followers. You know, one of the big, I think she's the biggest creator on the platform. And I don't know how she's holding it together. I don't know how she's not, you know, doing crazy things and moving to LA and doing drugs. Like, if honestly, I've been a conservative guy my whole life. That's just how I was raised. But I'll tell you, if I was 16 and my YouTube channel blew up or my TikTok blew up, I don't know where I would be. I really don't, because family can only protect you from those things for so long. And eventually, someone like her is going to come out to LA because they have to, and they're going to be collabing and they're going to be growing even bigger. But with that, you get introduced to things that aren't necessarily good for you. And so, you know, more power to her if she can avoid those pitfalls, because eventually in everybody's career, you hit something that's just not good for you one way or another. And so, you know, she seems to be doing well though. So, you know, it's just a matter of staying present and controlling your ego. But my God, I could only imagine, like, I had a hard time at 25. She just turned 16. So I can't even imagine what the young generation deals with.
Right. Right. You know, we see so many of these up and coming stars just being so young. You know, it surprises me sometimes when I learn, you know, their ages. You know, when you were in that situation, you know, first blowing up, what helped you kind of, you know, stay humble in a point where, you know, you're getting more viewers?
Yeah. So at the beginning, I was not humble at all. And it was a good exercise for my ego because, you know, keep in mind, I didn't even know what the ego was. I had not gone down a spiritual path yet, and I hadn't had my awakening yet. So, you know, I remember at one point, I remember saying to the girl I was dating and my manager, who were both in the car, I don't need to be humble. And that was the peak of me being ego identified. I'll never forget that moment. That was the moment, because I remember they both kind of groaned and looked at me like, what? And I remember thinking, oh, maybe you're not as big of a rock star as you think you are. But it feels like it in the moment, you know, when you're going through, like, again, for those that haven't gone through it, when you're presented with a lot of money and attention and you've got, you know, everything that you thought you ever wanted, it's a wild ride for your ego, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, I was looking through, you know, your videos, and there's always, you know, a positivity that I catch from your videos. And, you know, following you, I've always seen that you've always been a pretty positive guy. You know, where does that positivity come from, being able to, you know, go on a camera and smile and and make other people laugh and happy?
I think I've just always been a really happy guy, to be honest with you. Ever since I was young, I always had a positive outlook on life. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I think some people are just naturally happy. They have things inside of them that they look at the bright side. And then there are people, of course, that, you know, they're more cynical and they look at life a little bit more not as positive. Mm-hmm. And I have both kinds of people in my life and I've seen both. I guess it just comes, I don't know where it comes from, to be honest with you, but I'm really glad that I have that because, you know, I've gone through really hard times where I went through a solid 3-year period where I was super depressed. And had I not had an underlying happiness, let's say, I definitely think it would have turned out much worse.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that internal happiness kind of helped you out. Having just a positive mindset and training your mind to be its best, how big of a factor is that, you know, when you put that up with success, how important is it to just make sure that, to sometimes take a step back and say, you know what, I got to make sure my mind's in the right place?
Oh, it's everything. It's, like I said, it's everything to keep your ego in check. It's everything to be aware that money and, you know, fame and all of these things that people think that they want that will make them happy, material possessions, etc., that's not what makes you happy. And take it from me, somebody that's experienced it. What really makes you happy is connecting with source energy or the universe or God or love or good vibes, whatever you want to call it, whatever term works best for you. It's all the same. Connecting with that is an understanding that this world is not, you know, reality. There's an underlying reality under all of this. It gives you a sense of peace to know that, you know, life is about waves and troughs. You know, there's crests and troughs, there's ups and downs. And once you learn to recognize both as equals, as, you know, each is one side of the same coin. Once you do that, you can weather any storm. And that's kind of the way that I'm approaching this COVID-19 lockdown right now. It's really difficult for a lot of people, but hey, you know what? There's a lot of positives that are going to come out of it. And a lot of it, I think, is people are going to recognize that, oh, I didn't need that job that I just got laid off from because I was miserable at it anyways. And I'm going to start my own business now, or I'm going to start meditating. Like, there's a lot of positives that I think are going to come out of what people are perceiving as only a negative situation.
I like how you bring that up, because even, you know, with me, I just started this podcast and, you know, I never really had, you know, the time to do it, right? And going into quarantine, you know, I was just picking out all the negatives out of the situation. But, you know, those days where I realized, you know, I have all this time. This is the perfect opportunity to start up the podcast, you know?
There you go.
So it's like a lot of times, and I really like how you bring that up. You know, we take all the bad stuff in the situations, but sometimes we fail to see the good, you know, and see how, you know, a not so good situation can turn into, you know, the success, you know, in a way. So,
right. So, what episode is this, might I ask?
This is the third episode. So
oh, far. Dope. Okay.
Yes, awesome. Yes. So honored. You're one of the first episodes over here. Yeah.
I'm honored. That's awesome.
I've kind of stumbled on success a little bit right there. You would you consider yourself a pretty successful man?
I would.
Yeah, I mean, you have millions of subscribers. You're able to connect with, you know, millions of people around the world. To add to that success, you wrote a book. You know, you won awards. You've done all of this stuff, right? You've been able to collab with all these other great influences. I mean, it's a heck of a resume, if you ask me. You know, how do you feel after all those years? You know, just looking back and saying, you know, I had a lot of accomplishments. How do you feel being able to say that?
You know, I just look at it as this is something that life has thrown my way for better or worse. And I say better or worse because, and I believe, you know, here's the thing. I believe that everything that comes our way is for the better. You know, there are things that we label as bad. There are things that we label as good, but nothing is either good nor bad. Only thinking makes it so. And Shakespeare said that. It's from one of my favorite plays of all time, Hamlet. And it's absolutely true. And there's a lot of spiritual and philosophical truth in that, because the things that we think are often good for us, you know, like the accolades and all the things that you mentioned, the success and all of that, you know, when we get these things, sometimes it ends up being detrimental to us. But the opposite's true as well. Things that we perceive as really negative that have happened to us can often help us grow and help us become more spiritual and more present, more open-minded. So, you know, any event that happens in my life, I'm able to recognize gratitude for certain things. For, you know, for example, like, you know, if my channel's growing or I win an award or something, of course I'm grateful for it, but I don't let it impact my value as a person. And I kind of just recognize that, oh, I got a good feeling from that, and then I let it go. I don't let it go to my head. I don't let any of that happen, because, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, when you label something, you don't know what it's going to turn out to be. So, you know, it's just about sitting in gratitude and focusing on that and spreading good energy and love and things of that nature.
Wow. I'm not going to lie with you, man. I'm surprised at that answer, you know, and I respect that sense of humbleness that you have in you. You know, a lot of people who get to, you know, where you're at, maybe even bigger, you know, they lose themselves. And that's kind of what we've brought up already. Something I remember, one of my teachers brought to me was, you know, Tom Brady, right? And he obviously won many Super Bowls. And, you know, there was one interview that he did. I can't remember where it was at. But, you know, after all that success he had, he was still, you know, longing for something that he didn't have. You know, so I think a lot of times these, you know, materialistic things that we get in life sometimes just capture our attention, I feel like, a little too much. And I like how you've been able to accept those things, those awards that you've gotten, those accolades, but still, you know, keep a sense of humbleness to you. So I really respect that, man.
Thanks, man. That's very kind of you. Thanks.
So, obviously, we're at the end of an era here, right, with your 50 Amazing Facts series. By the way, what a way to end on episode 149. But, you know, what's next for you? Do you kind of have an idea where you want to go next with YouTube, with videos? What's kind of on your mind right now?
You know, right now I'm learning to be comfortable sitting in what I call the void, sitting in a place of truly not knowing what's next. And I have some ideas, but for the most part, I really don't know. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with embracing uncertainty. And I want to be comfortable with that so that I can create the space to allow my muse to speak to me, to allow my muse to give me inspiration again. The same voice and inspiration that came in, you know, circa 2010 when I first started. So I know that's coming, and I'm just going to keep, you know, plugging away at creating TikToks. And, you know, I'm making these moving images on my Instagram that I'm pretty proud of, that are pretty cool. And, you know, at the end of the day, my focus is always going to continue to be on spreading good energy, love. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, whatever you choose to. I saw those pictures, by the way, on Twitter, and that you got me, man. You got my like and retweet on that one. But, you know, I feel like whatever you do choose to do, I mean, you have just such just positive energy, man. And I feel that, you know, whatever you do choose, you know, people are going to come with you. And I have great respect for you just waiting and finding what you want to do, you know, not what is big right now, not what might get you a lot of views, but what you want to do, what makes you happy. I have a great respect for that.
Thanks, man.
As well.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So we're going to go ahead and move into our sort of little halftime here with a few rapid questions.
Sure.
So question number one, Mr. Santoro, what is your pet peeve?
My pet peeve. To be honest with you, I would have to say probably really loud noises. Like, the thing is, for some reason in Los Angeles, there's always an emergency going on. And I guess it's because I'm a creator who's always recording something. And so fire trucks and the obnoxiously loud constantly happening, whether I'm living downtown, Hollywood, West Hollywood, it's just a constant thing that, you know, I'm still just not quite used to. And now that I've got two beautiful cats, you know, like I'm literally holding the paw of my baby boy, Ned, right here. He's passed out. He looks so peaceful. And I know at any moment there could be, you know, an obnoxiously loud fire truck that comes by and wakes him up. So, you know, but hey, it is what it is. And I'm learning to live with it.
I can only imagine. Wow. Cool. So question number two, what is one thing that, you know, you've done and you just continue to do most during this time of quarantine?
The thing I'm doing most right now is going live, you know, raising money for my short film. I'm really excited about the short film, working on the short film, the script for the voiceover, meditating a lot, spending time with my cats, just going inward, like really going inward a lot. And I'm learning to be isolated like everybody else. We're all trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. All right, next question here. What is something that as a kid you thought was pretty cool, but as you look back, it's, you know, it wasn't really that cool?
Something that I thought was cool?
Yeah. But now you kind of look at it and say, like, why would I think that was cool back then?
Good question. Honestly, that's hard to answer because I honestly don't know how to answer that. You know, when I was a kid, I wasn't very popular, like in high school and in, you know, right up until university for the majority of my life, I wasn't very popular. So I really never knew what cool was, if that makes sense to you. But in terms of like music, Limp Bizkit was super cool to me back in the day, which obviously isn't a thing anymore. But yeah, that would be probably my best answer for that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's what we do here, man. We stump people on the spot.
Yeah.
You know? All right, so we're going to go and move into our final question here. This is one that we bring on every episode because everyone just wants to hear this question. Why, I don't know, but I'm going to throw it at you. So do you have a guilty pleasure that we should know about?
Yeah, sweets, man. I love Sprinkles cupcakes out here in LA. Holy. Oh, I honestly, my favorite thing in the world is chicken tenders and fries. That's my favorite food. But my favorite sweet food is Sprinkles cupcakes, like straight up buttercream vanilla icing with Sprinkles. So you get that smoothness with the crunch. Oh my God. Yeah. That like, if I'm ever having a bad day and I need to like just get over it quick, and I know I shouldn't self-soothe with food, but I just have to, that's my go-to.
Man, I feel that. Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, there you go, y'all. There were your rapid questions for this episode. And we're going to catch y'all right back going into how to find your passion. We'll get into it just a second. All right, everybody. So now we're going to talk about just finding your passion, finding what you like to do. And all of that good stuff. So Matt, first question I'm gonna throw to you is, you know, how do you find what you like to do without letting, you know, other factors influence your decision? Just kind of finding what you want to do and only what you want to do.
Yeah, you know, what's really important is focusing on truly what making what you would like to see. That's how I started. I started making videos of things that I would like to see that excite me, that challenge my abilities. And that's what, that would be my number one piece of advice for anyone just starting. First of all, just start whatever project it is that you're working on. Don't worry about it being perfect. Just begin it. And the second thing is make what you would like to see. And don't worry about the money and all that, that, you know, everyone wants to be famous. Everyone wants to be a famous YouTuber and stuff. But if that's your focus, you'll never make it because you won't have the motivation, the drive that'll keep you going through the nights where you start doubting yourself.
Got you. Cool. And you know what, when you're getting to the point of kind of finding what you want to see and also what makes you happy, is how do you kind of acknowledge what that may be?
Acknowledge what makes you happy?
Yeah.
I mean, you just know. Everyone just knows what makes them happy. You know, the thing that makes you smile, that gets you excited, that, you know, it, basically, it, if you have to jump out of bed in the morning early because you have to start working on that new thing, that's how you know you're passionate about it. That's how you know it makes you happy. Mm-hmm. But if you're in bed and you're like, I'm going to sleep and I don't really want to do this. I mean, you just got to listen to your body, pay attention, stay present. You know, there's, your body gives you signs. Your mind gives you signs. And if you're not jumping out of bed to do the thing in the morning, then start thinking about doing something else.
Mm. And obviously, you know, as we've mentioned already, we're in quarantine, you know, and it may be hard to do things that, you know, people like to do. In your opinion, what are some good ways to continue doing things that people like that maybe are a little bit restricted in this time?
During quarantine, like, I mean, there's only so much you can do. And that would be my advice, is just do what it is that you can do. We can't go to the gym right now. That has been the biggest thing for me. That's been a problem because, you know, I work out every single day and I'm going on 5 weeks now that I haven't been to the gym. This is the longest I haven't been in the gym in well over a decade and a half. And it's been a learning process for me. Really, the biggest part of it has been, you know, realizing how much of a test this has been for my own self-love. You know, I'm not really happy with the way I look right now. I know I'm gaining a little bit of weight, not astronomical amounts, but maybe 5-10 pounds. And I feel weak. I don't feel strong. I don't feel as attractive when I put a shirt on. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of these little things start to add up. And it's been a true test for me to say, you know what, despite all of this, I still love myself and I'll get back to the gym when time allows for it. And that's been, you know, the biggest thing for me right now. So just self-love, for everyone out there that's, you know, maybe eating a little bit more. But just do whatever you can do. Like that's all that you can do right now is whatever you're able to. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Don't sit there and worry about, oh my God, I should be doing this, but I don't have a job and I can't go to the gym. No, you don't have that option, so don't worry about it.
Hmm. And you brought up, you know, self-love, something I was going to bring up in a second. Obviously, that's an important thing, you know, making sure that you're treating your body correctly and in the most healthiest way that you can. As you're going through, you know, doing, you know, whatever it is that you have a passion for, how do you get to a point where, you know, you're kind of at the peak of self-love and making sure that, you know, your body, your mindset, all of that is 100% at all times?
Well, it's never going to be 100% at all times. There's always going to be times where you doubt yourself. There's always going to be times when the self-love aspect of things, you know, it falls through a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's a long-term game and you want to be better tomorrow than you were today. And even if you stumble today, you know, the process allows for that. It's the same with everything. It's the same with success. It's the same with creating, you know, a podcast. Like, you're on your third episode right now. I promise you there's going to be days where you're like, man, I'm on my 70th episode and nothing's happened yet. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, like, you might get lucky and you might have Elon Musk on an episode and it might not get any views. And you might be like, what the hell? Like, when am I going to get a break? But again, everything's long-term. Everything is a, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And if you keep that in mind, you just got to keep going and things will happen.
Hmm. And you bring up, you know, it being, you know, just a long-term journey, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, when they want something, they want it now, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they never want to go through the journey. You know, going back to you, I mean, you've been doing, let's take it to YouTube, for example. I mean, obviously you didn't become, you know, a sensation overnight, right? And the journey was there. You went through the doubts, you went through, you know, the struggles. Is there something that for you,
maybe what motivated me to keep going during times when I wanted to give up?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So for me, really the biggest thing I had to focus on was the love for what I was doing. There were so many nights where I absolutely just wanted to give up. I thought it's been 4 years that I've been making YouTube videos. Nothing's happening. I just want to give up. But then I would always go into this full circle 360 thing where I would say, I want to give up. And then, okay, let's follow that path. Okay, you give up. Then what? Well, I'm probably just going to make videos again because I love to do it. And that's what it came down to. And eventually it got to the point where I would just bypass the doubt entirely because I would get to a point where I knew that it would just go right back to the love for what I was doing. And that's what it comes down to.
Hmm. So just having that love and having that passion for what you love to do can sometimes override, you know, the negativity, you're saying.
Yeah. And it's absolutely, central to the success of anyone who wants to do anything, like literally anything.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's a great message. That I hope, you know, the audience takes with them. But we've come to the end of our episode. So Matt, thank you so much again for joining us.
Of course, brother. Yeah. Honestly, it's an honor. And I thank you so much for, you know, thinking I was somebody that could maybe give a little bit of knowledge to the people. And, you know, I wish you all the best in your podcast. And I think you're going to be really successful. Obviously, you have the resourcefulness to reach out to people and, you know, just never give up, man. You just, all you need is one lucky break. That's all it takes. One right person to listen, one right, you know, anything to happen. So just keep it up. You'll crush it. And I'll be listening.
I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you so much. Right, and bro. Thank you to all of you for listening to this week's episode. This has been the week's peak. We've overcame the peak. I'll see you all at the next one. Same time, same place, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, adios.